Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today. Pilot? Driver. It really should be driver now. Driver for the party bus today. Joining us in the back seat.
Like I feel like we're pretty spaced out most of the time, so like probably still driving that thing around space.
Scrub down is on the mind. And so when you said, you know, pilot of the, or welcome to Midwest Scrubcast, I'm like, nope, welcome to Midwest Scrub Down. Nope.
Scrubcast was correct.
That's not this.
Not this thing.
Not entirely this thing.
All right, Clint, AC Space, Houston.
Hi. Hello. Joining us in, I don't know.
On the roof of the pod or something.
We saw it really like worked out. There's no positions anymore.
Hanging out of the sunroof is Dan in the Midwest Scrub himself, Peterson.
Hello. And also joining us this week on our not weekly podcast is special guest Matt Carey.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I'll toss it back to the driver of this party bus, Emily Rastel, the Terror
Rastel. Thank you. So I guess we can start up top with the sad news that we are postponing the Scrub Down. We have mentioned on previous episodes that the venue for the Scrub Down has mysteriously vanished and not yet returned.
Sad but true, yes.
There was an incredible amount of mystery involved, more so than you would think.
What happened was when the eclipse happened, there was the rapture, but it only took the miniature market.
It's like a pet grooming place or something there now.
Oh, is there? I didn't.
We drove by it the other day, and Brian was like, "Oh, there's a such and such," and I feel like it had something to do with pets. Maybe it was a pet hospital thing. They buy and sell pets. I don't really know.
Dog and Suds.
Maybe. Speaking of pets,
somebody's throwing around their toys upstairs.
Yeah, I doubt the listeners can hear, but there are definitely dogs rolling something across the floor.
Piper playing with a bone is what that is.
Okay.
Just being thrown across the floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's got the zoomies with a bone is what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Fun for her. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right.
But yeah, so the
building's gone.
Miniature market closed
up
down in January?
Late January, yep.
To move to their new location.
To theoretically relocate.
To an undisclosed location, which has remained undisclosed.
Yeah. So, like, there is, like, their annex location, what I call the annex, in St. Charles, but it's a smaller store.
It's small, yep.
And, I mean, there's, like, a possibility that if we never know when this opens up again.
Right. If we don't hear anything in the fairly near future, we will consider other venues.
Yeah.
I mean, one of which would be the other mini market location, but we would have to lower the cap of the the registration cap. Like we would not be able to have nearly as many people.
It'd be nice to give their new store a run, but that would require them to have a new store.
Yes, we would love to host it at the new store, but we don't know where or what that is or anything about it. So, we're I guess gonna just wait and see a little bit whether anything comes of Mini Mart's location, and or explore other possible options.
I almost wonder if they just were like, well, we don't like. Because Mini Mart is primarily an online store, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I do really wonder if they're just saying, "Ah, screw it, we have one location that's good enough."
But I would think they would have said something. So, I mean, and that's fine. If they made that decision, I would be like, unsurprised. I would be like, sure, that's fine. I don't know that anybody would be like, I mean, whatever. If they want to do that, that's fine. But just tell people.
Yeah, the website
they have
still
completely
says,
ghosted.
Like, pending.
The website still says pending. They've completely ghosted me by email. I have not. I have emailed two different people at Mini Mart and had zero response.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying like, oh, you need to tell me all the details. I'm just like, give me an idea of what to expect because I'm supposed to be having this event and, you know.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah.
Clint's so mad about it, he's throwing his phone on the floor.
Yeah. The dog's not the only one throwing things around.
Yeah. But, like, if before, like if they could have said in March, hey, we're not going to be open in May, that would have made it
that
easier for us.
That could have helped. Like, I don't care where just, or when you're opening. Yeah, I just need to know
surprised.
What's going on in
May.
Yeah,
I'm just surprised that they didn't tell all the people that have events going on what's happening.
We're not the only
happening.
Ones.
Yeah, we're not the only ones
we're not
that
the only ones
event.
That scheduled events with Miniature Market.
So I'm just surprised that it's that they just ghosted all their event coordinators.
Apparently.
Yeah. So
let Tyson go and the thing went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. No, no set date now, I guess.
Right,
yeah.
Yes. We would have no idea, no idea what
no
the backup
date,
date would
no
be.
No set location.
Yeah.
We're still going to have it.
Yeah.
At
some point.
Somewhere. Yep, that is the plan. We do plan to still have a tournament. We've got not
got
all
some,
of the prizes,
we
but
got
we've got
prizes
we've
already.
Got some of the prizes already. Like,
the most expensive
like,
prizes are already here.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're definitely queued up to...
I have not made cookies yet, though.
No.
Yeah.
We just go down Chesterfield Valley and cruise all the buildings and just like be like, is there a new place being coming in? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I wonder if this is the new spot. Because that's most likely where they're going, but...
Mm-hmm. That was where they were rumored to have been going before they just mysteriously didn't open anywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, the prevailing theory is that they don't have a set new location at this point.
Yeah, maybe like a contract fell through or something.
That's my assumption.
Yeah, something like that. But so that's our X-Wing news.
Yeah,
so stay tuned.
That is our X-Wing news, and I will try to remember to post about this on the socials as well.
Oh, fair enough.
So because not very many people listen to the podcast anymore, so you know. we should spread the word elsewise.
Somehow we're gonna have to drum up interest in this thing without without a following.
I mean, I think people are still they enjoy the event, and
with it being moved, with it being in the same time frame, we've already had like we've said we've had people come to us and ask us, hey, is it happening? And we're like,
It's like, yes, but we don't know when
we don't know when or where, so we're gonna have to change that or figure it out and then somehow find a way to promote it. We'll figure that out.
My hands are probably always warm. Your hands are warm.
I feel like we need interns for this kind of thing.
Your feet are definitely. Oh, I mean,
it's also been like
you do feel cold, but there's a layer of jean protecting me from your cold feet. So
other X-Wing news.
Well, I don't know about other X-Wing news,
to Adepticon.
I guess that's X-Wing news.
X-Wing there.
Yeah, I mean, like,
but none of us played X-Wing, so I'm not sure it's X-Wing news.
I talk to X-Wing people.
Miniature
right.
News.
See, it's adjacent. It's transition.
Transition.
But yeah, Adepticon. We all went up there. We did some Adepticon-y things.
We did the worst Star Wars trivia that has ever been in the history of ever.
Yeah,
that was the one event that we signed up for with Star Wars trivia, and
it was a train wreck.
It was disappointing, so we left. It might have got better. I don't know.
There was an intrinsic issue in that the audio was awful.
I was like, you couldn't hear the person asking the question, and then also they had answers wrong, and then they had This was an upsetting question. It was like, what is the best line in Star Wars?
And you could have any answer
obviously
you want.
Obviously, this is a somewhat subjective question.
It was
question.
A very subjective question. And then they revealed after, you know, we submit our answers that, hey, everybody, you know,
everybody gets a point because, you know,
everybody
it's a subjective question. So everybody gets
even
a point.
Even if you put somehow Palpatine returns, that got you a point.
Yeah.
That is the best line in Star Wars, as it turns out.
Yep. Turns out that's the best line in Star Wars history. Yeah.
Did we even make it through the first 10 questions?
We made it through the first time.
Okay, because I couldn't quite remember.
I think we did. I think we went through maybe the.
I don't think we made it through
round.
The bonus round.
No, we didn't do the bonus
round in between, and then another 10 questions, and we bounced after the first 10 questions.
Yeah, I was like, it's like 10:30.
Yeah,
I don't.
That was
want...
the other thing.
It
took
so
long.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It took forever. So I'm not sure if every Star Wars trivia at Adepticon is always like this.
No,
but...
no. No, it's not. Because Nick Sperry was there and he'd done it the year before. And he was like, it was nothing like this last year. It was really fun. Good time.
So, yeah, they had you turn in your answers after each question.
Right.
So,
which is fine.
So,
which is
so that the guy asking the questions could then key in everybody's answers by hand in a spreadsheet.
So like there was...
And
ostensibly a team helping him, but it was just the guy that was reading off the questions that was inputting all the answers, and the other people would just come talk to him and distract him essentially, instead of actually helping him do anything.
It was pretty incredible.
So it's just like, well, I'm only out $10 or whatever it was. Yeah, yeah. So, but. Yeah. It makes me feel like we could do Star Wars trivia next year and like make money if we wanted to go to Adepticon.
Yeah.
Apparently, also buy the big super pack.
Don't buy
general admission tickets.
Yeah.
Apparently, just if we knew this like
last year.
Yeah, last year for some reason we forgot when we bought tickets this year, and we just bought regular tickets and they showered people with prizes.
Yeah.
And that you could just go sell your ticket price.
It was
back.
Either Doug Howe or Alex Smittle last year that was just like, I just get it and I sell like the stuff that I don't want, I sell and I make up my ticket back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, fair. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, they gave out like a Tanks miniature game. This year,
yeah. Was it World of Tanks or
no? It's very World of Tanks esque.
Yeah,
but it's called Clash of Steel.
Yeah.
I'd seen it advertised somewhere else before, and I was like, oh, look, World of Tanks. Oh no, World of Tanks actually does have their own miniatures game. That's how I found out, was because I was curious about this one, looked it up, and saw that there was multiple different.
There's also a Halo Flashpoint coming out, which I'm mildly interested in, but I want to see how it plays first.
Yeah, but that would require someone to pay the money to buy it so we could try.
Well, no, I mean, if they put out if they put out a video that says, hey, here's how specifically, because like the an official
right,
one,
yeah,
because the one that I saw was very much... Four players will get together and they will shoot and they will play oddball and they will play, you know, capture the flag and play deathmatch and you can shoot, you can hide behind cover. And it's like, cool,
it's describing the game.
It's describing the experience on a broad level. Yeah.
It's what's on the back of the board game box, which is cool, you know, but
the one I saw was the demos that they were giving at Adepticon.
Yeah.
I saw a video of that, which was hard to watch because they're yelling into the mics because there's a bunch of background noise, and he's also like just running you through a couple rounds real quick. And it's like, okay, so you move here and shoot me, I'm gonna move here and hit you with a hammer.
Yeah,
all right, wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
You know, so brief explanation of the game.
And so
it's still not enough to make me go, ooh, I want this, because I'm still like, I have so many questions.
It was like, I want to how to play.
So there needs to be a haven't seen a good video, but it looked interesting.
Yeah.
As for like a miniatures game, you know,
but it like I'm still looking for that thing to replace the X-Wing, and I don't think it'll be it. But
nothing replaces the dance.
Yeah. However, there is a game that was X-Wing esque that you guys ended up buying, Rem Racers.
Oh, right. Some of the movement mechanics were X-Wing.
Had movement templates.
So it's got movement templates, and you move 1 speed, 2 speed, 3 speed, or 4 speed. And
They're like different angles and stuff.
So
you pick your template before putting it on the board.
Yeah,
and then you can't change it out. So like, if you pick too sharp of a turn and you run into the wall, like that's what you do.
So it's not hidden dial because you know, but you do pick like. I think there's of the 1 speed. There's only 3 different
There's a couple of maneuvers,
but you can flip them like X-Wing, and then same thing with 2. And then I think 2 has the most like maneuvers that you can do. 1 ends up kind of being like a straight side slip. I don't know how to say it, but but then 3 has like 3 maneuvers, and then 4 only has 2. So like you're going straight, or you're going straight with a slight curve.
Yeah.
And it's basically to like preserve your momentum. So like if if you're one, you can turn harder. And if you're going two, you can do even, you know, you're going fast enough to where you're maneuverable. And then you go three, you're starting to lose maneuverability again. And then when you're going four, it's like, yeah, you're pretty much going straight. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And, yeah.
We haven't played it yet, but we bought it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I played it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, I walked up and there was three people playing and, well, about to start playing. And then the demo guy was like, you're playing. I'm like, okay, sure.
You're right, I am.
And I mean, it helped having my X-Wing eyes because it was mm-hmm. like the one speed is about a one speed and uh-huh. the two speed is about a two speed and the three okay. speed is about a three speed. So it was like I knew where I was going.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's fun. You know, it's like, and unlike X-Wing, you know, if you did, you set your speed after the turn you just did. So if I did a one speed maneuver, I can go up one or down one, but obviously mm-hmm. I can't go down to zero, but
right.
Well, I say obviously, you just can't.
But there's like, no zero stops? Yeah. Oh, man.
So you can keep doing that, and then there's like little power. It's very much Mario Kart, essentially. There's a mm-hmm. modular track that has, you know, it's a bunch of cardboard pieces that you can fit in to make different tracks however you want. They're double-sided, so you can turn it the other way. But as you enter each section, you get a power-up Mario-esque, you know? Yeah. And
you get, like, machine guns or mines or oil slicks, yeah, things exactly. like that.
It's... And then a flamethrower. And then if you're in last place, you get essentially a free power-up, blue shell style, like, with, you know, it's like, they're just like, you're in last place, here's an extra, you know, power-up to help you catch back up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can shoot, like, anywhere is like, I want to say like four spaces away. So like if somebody's like really in the lead, you can still mess with them, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a fun game to play. And apparently my word is good enough for other people to buy games off of. So Clint and Emily bought a game.
Uh-huh. Yep. We did buy a game off of purely Matt's recommendation. Yeah. But it sounded fun. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. Like, it sounded fun. It looked fun. I mean, they had, mm-hmm. they still had the thing set up there and I was like, is that essentially Mario Kart? Yep. Okay. All right. I'll buy it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all it took for me.
Yeah. It's basically in the Mario. It is Mario Kart. It's in the Infinity universe, which is like Corvus Belli makes a miniatures game, a tabletop miniatures combat game called Infinity, which I was interested in at one point, but I found out the miniatures came unpainted and they look so cool on the box. And I'm like, if it comes unpainted, I don't want it. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I'm still kind of that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to paint things.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, I'm interested, but I prefer the option.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What else? There was a lot of Senjutsu that went down.
Yeah. We played a lot of Senjutsu.
We set that up for a day and sat down and played mm-hmm. several games.
Yeah, I feel like I played a lot of games with Senjutsu that one day.
I think Emily ended up playing a lot of games. She played against Dan a few, then played against me, and then...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Did
yeah.
Kencho ever play?
No.
No, he watched. No,
we had multiple people watch. No one actually wanted a demo game. Everyone just wanted to watch a game played.
Mm-hmm.
There was another guy that kickstarted it that...
He wandered by. He already owned it. He just wanted to come by and watch people play it.
Yeah. And see it laid out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's looking more impressive as I'm getting minis painted, though. I'm slowly getting some of the Clint characters painted.
Starting to get some paint. I painted one.
It's starting to look better. Yes, you did.
I painted one mini.
Yes. So it's looking better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, one of these days, I guess, this is another thing with like Major Mart having closed, I was going to get a hold of them and like set up a like learn
a demo day
a demo day and then maybe try to set up like a weekly play day or something or something but they closed so and haven't opened so I don't know what to do there
mm-hmm.
so I'm not sure what to do about that locally if I want to
yeah
still get something running or not but
mm-hmm.
It's not a thing that is going to grow naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's
it needs to be nurtured. And without a store to nurture, don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Don't know Fair what enough. To do there.
Yeah.
So,
any other cool stuff?
Anything that happened up at the... Oh, we went... So, outside of Adepticon...
Well, that's what I was going to get
okay,
to.
Okay, okay. We're going to make sure...
Did anything else happen at Adepticon?
We walked the floor. No, we once again realized that we're not really so much into miniatures games, it turns out.
Well...
Or tabletop games. They, like... I think tabletop looks really appealing, but then I always am just like, ooh, that's a lot of rules and a lot of crunchiness.
Or a lot of painting.
And a lot of painting.
I was going to say, where
well,
am
yeah, so much like, I? Saw the, like, uh-huh. I saw this, well, it was a game called Arena Rex.
Yeah.
And it's been out
it's
for
gladiatorial
it's a gladiatorial game. It's been out for several years. And I stood there and watched some guys play like a couple rounds, and I was like, that looks interesting enough. I don't see how they're having a tournament, because it's like that tape measure movement thing where someone holds a tape measure over top of their figure, goes, yeah, I moved 2 inches, and then picks their figure up and then moves it 5 and then pushes you into the trap. And I'm like, yeah, see, I don't understand how you can do that competitively, but whatever. I digress. I saw it, thought it looked really cool. Come home and start like watching videos on it. I'm like, man, this is so much rules and crunchiness, and oh my gosh, wow, the expensiveness! And I had to paint it on top of
the
ridiculously expensive game. All of that just kind of compounds and it pushes me away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the painting happens thing every time. Is like one of the things that pushes me away from so many of them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like
the Halo game. They technically come like a red and a blue,
green,
whatever.
Yeah, blue and red, yeah.
But it's still just it's full, fully dipped in one color.
Yeah.
Like you would still need to paint them for them to look good. And also the price point is very high. It made me go.
Oh yeah. It was like 120 or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Just for a starter set, it was like 120 bucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where, so like the one reason that BattleTech was easier to get me in on it wasn't just because like we had a couple people in the mm-hmm. local playing. Mm-hmm. But also because the starter kit was like $70 for 13 mechs.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, cool. Well, then, yeah. And then since I'm painting everything all the same colors, it was, I can assembly line that. So mm-hmm. it's not like I have, well, we'll go with like Senjutsu, where you're like, I have
15 characters.
You have the sailor.
Everyone
then
different.
You have the master, and then you
and
have
the Ronin. And
and they're all different.
All totally different outfits and, different stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Some of them have armor, some of them don't, some of them are wearing cloth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't have to come up with a different color scheme. Like, I enjoy painting Unmatched,
mm-hmm.
but it's also, I have to feel inspired.
Because each mini takes so much work and decisions and,
You have to sit down and pick out a color palette per mini, whereas you want to paint all 15 of your mechs.
Yeah.
Well, pick your color scheme and then just get going.
Yeah, like, okay, so I need 3 distinct colors if I want to, because that's Adepticon's rule.
Legal,
is three distinct colors.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. So I have the metallic for, the joints and stuff like that. I have a desert camo, and then I have whatever I'm going to paint their like visor or optics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I just do that for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Same color scheme. So it makes it
really
simple.
Easy, yeah.
But man, that one of the greater selling points for X-Wing was everything was painted, and mm-hmm. I'm sitting here looking at Dan's stuff over on the counter mm-hmm. and it all looks like, yeah. That's pretty.
We're just some sad X-Wing players.
We are just sad X-Wing players.
Just sad refugees. No, we're refugees.
I was going to say, we're not X-Wing players.
Yeah. Jonesing for the good old days.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But outside of Adepticon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else we did when we went to Chicago?
We
got pizza.
Yeah,
that's what we did.
Chicago-style pizza.
We went to the Field Museum.
Yeah, and that thing is huge.
It was giant. Uh-huh.
Like...
Yeah.
I still don't think I've seen all of it, and I've been to it twice, so...
Uh-huh.
I've been to it once, and I've definitely not seen all of it.
We saw, like, a quarter of it in that one trip, because, we spent, like, 2 hours up on the dinosaur floor or whatever. And
well, we also were the types that, like, stop and read all the stuff, not just walk through.
We're actually
reading and trying to learn a little bit, and then, eventually your brain just goes, all right, I'm... done learning.
They had the Bloodsuckers exhibit, which was
they had the extra exhibits that you went into.
Bloodsuckers was specifically basically anything that fed on blood, even fictional things like vampires. But they
I didn't realize that there were blood drinking birds in the world.
Yeah.
They had two of them like featured. But yeah, they had like live lamprey and live leeches and stuff like that. It was like, that is
and
gross.
Mosquitoes, they had live mosquitoes.
I didn't see the live ones.
They had
mosquito noises. I don't remember. No,
they had some live mosquitoes.
They had actual mosquitoes.
And like,
okay.
I was looking at it and trying to figure out how they fed them and realized that there was a spot that you could open up a door and stick your arm in so that the mosquitoes could feed.
Seems like a poor choice.
That seems like a very poor choice. Yeah.
They had a chair that you could sit in and it would have stereoscopic mosquito noises. I was like, why is this here? We know what mosquitoes sound like. I mean, I guess
I've been camping before. Jesus.
But yeah, so like it was weird. Like looking at the teeth of the lamprey, and because like they were like suction cupped up against the glass, you could see like
the rows of teeth.
And
yeah,
just like that would hurt so bad.
That's terrifying.
Yeah,
jeez.
And I didn't realize apparently they still use leeches
for some things. Yeah,
today.
Yeah, because it wasn't necessarily a bad practice. It was just
overused
and also unsanitary because you could get stuff from them as well. So
yeah,
sure. I'm sure, and you know, the leeches we use now are more
sanitized,
cultivated to not give you crap.
Less diseased, yeah. Presumably. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, well, you know,
they rub them with rubbing alcohol first.
Yeah. They brush their teeth.
They don't just pull them off of one patient and stick them on another anymore. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Shame.
Yeah, I for some reason I recall that is how like George Washington might have died. He was overleached. Like he may have been like in his towards the end of his life, but also
in his ripe old 40s.
Yeah, I don't know. Dan is gonna double check me. This was me like when I was 13. I think I read it somewhere, and who knows where I don't know where
Reddit,
you read things.
I don't
before.
Think Reddit existed. Uh-huh. Yeah,
it was like, where did you read things before the internet existed? How did I learn random facts? Because I know I did.
Cereal boxes.
Yeah, it was like we had an encyclopedia, but I know I did not read that.
We actually didn't own an encyclopedia, and if we had, I probably would have read it because I was that kind of a weird child. But no, I don't think we had one.
I love learning stuff, but man, like, whoever wrote encyclopedias was not good at conveying information.
Sure.
I don't want to say entertainingly because it's not there for entertainment, but like in a way that doesn't put you to sleep. But there was also beyond the bloodsuckers exhibit, there was the deep sea stuff, where it's like
treasures of the unseen deeps or something like that.
Yeah, and it was about like
things
stuff
that are down in the big blue.
Yeah, in the big blue so much it's just black. Yeah. Where, so far like bioluminescent stuff and
yeah, that was neato. Wasn't as neat as the dinosaurs though. The dinosaurs take the cake.
Yeah, I was gonna say like those two exhibits were fine. You know, they were cool, but the thing that we spent the majority of the time was on the dinosaurs, and that was cool.
We had multiple dinosaur nerds, you know, who wanted to just, you know, look at all the dinosaurs.
Yeah. So apparently George Washington had 40% of his blood let in the last 12 hours of his life.
Okay, so this was actually correct. Dan, can you live with 40% of your blood missing?
I would guess no. Considering that George Washington died pretty much from that.
So, okay, I heard something that was actually true.
Yeah, what do you know?
Who'd have thought? Don't know where I heard it, though.
Somehow
maybe it was the History Channel back when the history was actually on the History Channel.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the History Channel about nowadays, Matt?
Aliens. Ghost farmers.
Ghost farmers, yeah.
Pawn Stars, those kind of things.
Oh, gosh. Uh-huh.
So it says if you lose more than 40% of your blood, you will die.
It does?
You will.
It says.
It says. It is in the internet.
Oh, the internet. Okay.
Who is it? The almighty internet. Yes.
The interwebs. And what they put on here is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Fair enough.
But who's they?
So.
The people on the internet.
The people who make the internet, man. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm just...
We just got to find out where
For
the
all
internet
I know,
is. And...
This is directly from God.
Well, maybe.
No, it comes through a series of tubes.
A series of tubes.
A series of tubes.
But yeah, it was really cool. Like the scale model of the Quetzalcoatlsaurus.
Yeah. I don't think it's Saurus, but yeah. The
Quetzalcoatlus. That's
Quetzalcoatlus or whatever. Yes. Yeah.
The big bird.
Quetzal.
A giant.
I just know it as a Quetzal.
It's a big bird.
Is it a pteranodon? Is that what the correct nomenclature is?
Pterosaur.
Pterosaur.
Pterosaur are is the no, well no. Pterosaur is the overall name for flying saurs. I suppose.
You know, it's like we did say the dinosaur exhibit, but dinosaurs are specific to like Triassic period or something like that. So
right, we saw lots of things that were birds are dinosaurs.
So lots of things that were dinosaurs and things that were not just dinosaurs.
They were not dinosaurs that were lived during the same time period. Yes, and the flying ones apparently were not dinosaurs. The flying the pterosaurs were not dinosaurs.
But birds are dinosaurs.
But birds are dinosaurs.
Well, the pterosaurs are dinosaurs. They're just
ancestors.
Different name, I guess. Yeah.
No. I mean, like, I thought it said that they weren't
Different branches.
They're from a different branch of the genetic tree. Like, they're not technically. It's because their hip bones are different or something.
Learn much.
I don't even. They were, yeah. It, no, dinosaurs.
I learned so
it did
much
say
there was so
much,
and I didn't retain much.
Yeah. It did say that dinosaurs, one of the main determinants of what is a dinosaur is the way the hip bone. Is the hip socket
the way
whatever.
The hip bone is connected to the leg bone? Leg bone's connected to the shin bone.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that is apparently what makes it.
Apparently,
it's birds.
And it's the way that birds do. Yeah.
But yeah, they have. If you've never been there, they actually do have a good amount of actual bones. They have a lot of replica.
And soup.
Which
they might have soup too. I don't know.
They might have soup. I don't know. They have a cafeteria, but whatever.
You didn't see soup.
They have a lot of like replica bones and structures, but some of the skeletons that they have actually did have like a surprising amount of it was
real
actual
bones,
bone. Mm-hmm. And yes, they have the T-Rex there. That's like the largest preserved T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Whose name is Sue. They don't know if it's a guy or a girl, but they do have a name.
But its name is Sue because the person who found it's name was Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. And also, I don't remember again how much percentage of it was
that
real, but it was
like
almost
some
it's like some 90 something percent.
Yeah, except for they had the head.
Well, the head was displayed separately.
The head was displayed separately, so they had
they
a
still
cast.
Have
yeah,
the real
they had the head.
Yeah,
they had the real head.
So
yeah.
What was up on connected to the rest of the bones was casts of it.
Yeah,
it was fakes, but they still have the actual stuff.
They had the real head too. Yeah, no, I think they were only missing they were missing
the
end of the tail.
The end tail, the lower part of the rib cage, because it had there's the double rib cage.
Mm-hmm.
They said there was parts of the lower rib cage that were missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, part of the tail. And
maybe a little of one of the legs gone.
What's interesting,
90 to 95% is
that's
the
so much.
Of how much of Sue is real.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Well,
and that's a lot. And then
it was interesting where you could see the calcifications where they were like this is likely
osteoporosis
this is either arthritis here and they were like and then on the tail this is likely from damage from whether it's battle damage or just natural you hurt it
some kind of injury
like and this is a calcification and then there were also like they pointed out there was holes in the jaw Mm-hmm. And they were like, this is likely from a fungal infection, and maybe
just
that
just eating at the, yeah, the bone. Yeah.
And maybe that's what killed Sue.
Yeah, and maybe Sue died from not eating
from
malnutrition,
yeah,
because mm-hmm. the fungal infection hurt. I was like, who knows? This is really interesting.
Yeah.
One thing was cool. They had like a model of the arm bones.
Yeah,
that was down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like I put my arm next to it. And just in case you're wondering, one of the largest T-Rexes in the world has about the size of a human arm. So that's like, they're yep. huge. Their arms are about the size of ours.
That's like, about the only thing that's the same size. But yeah, yes, yeah. our arms are the same size as the T-Rex arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did get me thinking though, because like they were talking like, you know, oh yeah, this one lived up to a full adult age. And that got me thinking, well, what was adult age? Like, did they live long or did they grow fast?
Yeah.
And like, I went home and started reading some stuff, and it was like, on average, or they believe that dinosaurs aged rapidly.
Yeah.
And matured quickly. And so they may have had long lifespans, but they aged quickly. Like, they became adults really quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, we take 20 some odd years. But you can look at a puppy in 1 year. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty
still got its puppy mentality,
yeah, but
it's almost a full size dog.
It's a full size dog at that point. Yeah. So dinosaurs kind of follow that.
They apparently estimate the internet, straight from God, indicates that T-Rexes grew quickly, reaching adult size as teenagers, and that the animals died young. The oldest specimen analyzed has been 28 years old. Is what they estimate.
Okay. Yeah. See. And that's not very old. And that's got me like that was got me wondering.
So
I was
I'm
like,
older
man,
than dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're older than dinosaurs.
You're older than dinosaurs. A lot of us are older than dinosaurs, it turns out. So that's another dad joke we can put in our pockets.
I'm older than dinosaur. I thought you were gonna say, you know, it got you thinking. You know, the arm got you thinking
no.
whether you could take it in a fist fight.
Well, I mean, you might be able to. Maybe an arm wrestling competition.
I don't know. That's one of
the
things.
There's a lot of weight behind that.
Yeah, you can use the body weight. Yeah, that's true. I haven't watched. Yeah. All the arm wrestling competitions I've watched, you know, lately have been body wrestling competitions with people's arms touching each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're holding hands, but then they're wrestling with their bodies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So the T-Rex wins that, hands down.
Yeah, easily. Yes,
yeah.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Yeah, that's my dig at the modern day arm wrestling competitions. That's not arm wrestling.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like any sport, like
utilize what you can to win the sport, and then if that means bending it and changing it to where it's not even what it was, but it's still technically legal, then
but I mean, just
whatever.
Even like, well, compare like basketball to what it was 50 years ago.
Yeah,
there are giants. Mm-hmm. This is a game of that giants play.
Well,
not you know,
like I actually, so it's funny that you say that. I saw, I think today on Reddit, a picture of a free throw from like a boys' high school basketball game from the like 50s or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the guy was standing on the free throw line throwing, I think it's a granny shot, I think.
Sure. Oh,
so like,
yeah.
Between his legs.
Uh-huh.
And like that was apparently the standard of like,
mm-hmm.
hey, you're doing, you know, gonna throw a free throw.
Mm-hmm.
Granny style.
Uh-huh. Granny shot that thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yes,
so like, you got a bunch of like
year,
5 foot six guys, uh-huh. you know, gangly and just no technique, probably. You know, it's like you probably had some guys that had the natural technique that you know, that other people mimicked later.
Yeah.
But, like, everybody's throwing terrible. And, you know, it's like things evolve. And, then you have just a, you know, league that's full of just 7 foot tall guys and no others need apply. I mean, there's exceptions. If you can shoot 3-pointers like they're nothing, then I'm sure you're
here,
there.
Found it.
He found it.
So 21. So actually 100 years ago.
Yeah. There's the mm-hmm. granny shot.
Yep.
Nice. Nice.
Post it to the Discord.
Okay. That's
Put that with in, no context. Put that in sports ball.
Yeah, put it in sports ball.
There is a place for that. Uh-huh. It goes in sports ball. That's the one post from Dan in sports ball. Ever.
Yeah.
No context. 100-year-old free throw shot.
But yeah, like arm wrestling, like football used to be like no pads and a leather helmet, you know.
I know sports change, but
boxing used to be bare knuckle boxing and just beat the tar out of somebody.
that is true. I did go back and watch some of the old UFC fights, and like there's one where this dude was punching the other guy in the testicles, and that was legal.
Yeah.
Like that was a legal thing. And then he gets up and they hug like they do nowadays, and it's like, oh, I figured he'd be mad.
Yeah.
Nope. He was like, yep, you beat me fair and square. You found my one weakness. Good job.
Well, and it used to be like when MMA came out. I mean, it stands for mixed martial arts. And it used to be more like
very mixed.
It's like, here's a Thai boxer. Here's a regular boxer. Here's a jiu-jitsu guy. Here's a keto guy.
Really mixed and very unbalanced.
Yeah.
Because you'd get people that were way out of weight class versing each other too.
Well, and then also like...
If you want some fun, go watch old UFC.
Yeah, UFC was the bomb.
It's interesting.
It was and then, you also have boxers adhere to a strict set of rules. You know, like they're not supposed to hit below the belt. You know, so like specifically they.
But
wouldn't
then you're allowed to. Yeah. Then all of a sudden,
Then you have a guy that kicks and like he's like, but I don't. You know, they're not trained to deal with kicks. And
who was it? That ruined UFC for me. It was the kick. You know the kick I'm talking about, where he wrapped his leg around.
When he kicks, his leg breaks and flips around.
So much, dude.
That was Anderson Silva.
Silva.
That was where I stopped.
I couldn't do UFC after that.
Same kind of thing. Watching like the Olympics and watching people deadlifting. Or not deadlifting. What's it called when
like
you lift
clean
it?
And jerk.
Putting it up, you know, in like when he jerked it up to like his chest level, like his femur snapped, and I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
Uncomfortable.
I was not. No more. No thanks.
Yeah. No, that was what like before that though. Watching, Chuck. Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, Chuck Liddell was
like,
fun.
Dude's out there like looking like he's 40 years old with a beer belly, just laying people out. Fantastic.
Goes out swinging. Yeah, it was really good. I was super into it around that time too.
Yeah.
And followed it, and then like I never really went out to UFC night, and then the one time I did, I got invited by some coworkers, and I was like, oh yeah, of course I'll go, and it was that fight. I didn't even show up to like the pre-fights, wherever I showed up for that fight, and that's the one fight I got to see like at a sports bar, and was like,
is this what it's always like?
it never looks like that on the replays.
Like he's supposed to do that to his opponent, not kick somebody and break himself.
Yeah. That leg just. And the slow-mo of that leg just wrapping around.
Yeah, and he was my favorite fighter at the time, too. So that really did kill
him,
it for it. Killed it for me as well.
And the Iceman, like, those two were just a blast to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your opinion, Emily, of mixed martial arts?
I did not watch any of that.
All right, fair enough. Chuck, too, didn't you?
I did not know anything about mixed martial arts.
Yeah. How about, have you been watching the arm wrestling with Clint?
No, I didn't know he was arm wrestling. Yeah.
I'm not like watching it.
No, I know.
I've seen random videos of it, I'm always just, I scoff at it. It's like watching the videos of the guys doing the slapping.
That's what I was just trying to bring up. I was like, have you seen?
That's a sport too.
Competitive slapping.
Oh, that has also changed, you know, like where it was originally, like we're slapping each other. Then guys started angling their hands to where they were chopping at each other with their wrists like trying to knock each other out rather than just slapping each other like that. That's another sport that has evolved and changed.
Well,
like you I don't know if it's everywhere, but you can't wear, like, they used to, everyone would wear hats, and, like, but then people started wearing their hats and, like, tipping them down low. Because I don't know if you've ever slapped at someone, but if, like, I've slapped Bob upstairs,
the mannequin.
The Bob mannequin. And Dan used to put a trucker hat thing on there, and I slapped it.
It wasn't a trucker hat. It was a Yoda hat.
It's a Yoda hat, but it's got that trucker hat, like thick, flat bill. Yeah. And my thumb hit it, and I was like, oh, that hurts so bad. That's why they outlawed hats. Oh, that hurts. That's why all those guys dip their hat really down low on slap competitions.
Yeah.
They're trying to make their opponent get hurt.
But I mean, even slaps, like when I was in karate, it was Isshin Ryu karate. When they were telling you, like, when you punch, just like they want you, like, if you're trying to knock somebody out, you want to hit them, you know, if you're going to hit the jaw,
you don't really
want to hit bone, is basically where you're at most of the time. But it's like you want to hit the lower jaw and you want to get it to turn their head so their brain rattles around. Mm-hmm, and that's how you knock people out. You get their head to rotate enough to where their brain rattles it, because you don't want to hit.
You don't slap like this. You slap like that.
Could you put that into the microphone?
Oh, sorry. We don't have the camera sitting here. Yeah, sorry. You know,
he went from a slap motion to more of like a chop with your the ridge of your hand.
Yeah,
but that was basically the concept. They wanted you to. You know, it's like. I say they wanted you to. This is self-defense. They don't want you to just go around knocking people out. But they're like, if, you know, to knock somebody out, it's like you don't want to hit, like, their face or their skull. Mm-hmm. It's like, even though if you hit their skull, that's what will rattle them around, but that's also what will break your hand.
Uh-huh.
Like, that will break your bones. So it's like you want to hit the jaw. It's still hard, but it also gives. And because it gives, it'll move the head around and shake the brain around and knock somebody out.
Yeah.
So people will do that with slapping as well. It's like if you
try to hit that jaw,
if you get that jaw just right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's.
But I still just don't get it.
win that. Yeah, you can win the grand champion and get that $2,500 check and a little bit of brain damage.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little bit of brain damage and a little bit of brain damage.
A little more brain damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez.
So are we getting into competitive slap fighting?
I'm not planning on it, no. I have enough health issues.
I don't think that's the direction that
you're older than a dinosaur. You don't need any.
You're almost as old as George Washington.
Right. Oh, fair enough. When did he die? How old was he when he died? Did you find that out?
I didn't. Well, I probably saw it, but I did not make note of it.
The ripe old age of 47.
Probably around in there.
Yeah, probably.
67.
So he lived.
Okay.
So,
he did. Wait, he lived
a
good
life. He was in his 40s.
Yeah, yeah, I know. He was like one of the oldest ones. You know, unlike all the other guys who were like 19 and 20, 17, 20.
So one of the things that like brought that average
fathers,
that
teenagers, teenager fathers.
You still had plenty of people that were, like that would make it into their 70s or their late 60s.
Yeah.
But what really brought the age of mortality down was all the if you made it past like 7 years old, you were good. But most deaths happened before then because you would catch something, and we didn't have antibiotics.
Catch typhoid,
or the scarlet fever, or
measles,
measles or polio or whatever.
Or cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like we just didn't have anything to deal with that.
Just
so
randomly,
the people that made it were the ones that survived those things, you know, like they survived they had the immunities later. They had the not necessarily. I mean, I guess they are still called immunities even when you only are somewhat immune. But like it's like you built up an immunity. So when you get the, you know, cowpox or whatever, chickenpox or the polio or whatever.
Is cowpox a thing?
Yes.
The weasels.
Yeah.
The weasels.
Weasels. It's like the measles, but weasels come to visit you instead.
Cowpox is a rare zoonotic infection caused by DNA orthopox virus that is similar to the vaccinia and smallpox viruses.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cowpox.
But yeah, people
get your vaccine so we can give your kids cowpox.
I'm not certain that's how that works.
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
But
yeah. They want you
to what they want you to think.
They want you to think.
But yeah, they. Now you got me curious. What the ages of everybody? Age of everyone that signed the declaration?
Yeah, no. Yeah. There's a good number of them that were like, yeah, teens and early 20s. It's surprising.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, it makes Aaron Burr was 18 years old.
Yeah, that's that kind of thing.
Alexander Hamilton was 20. Or mm-hmm.
And now all the people running our country are in their 80s and 90s.
Which makes it interesting.
Don't know why or how, but
like all these people. Okay, so
shifted.
James Monroe was 18. Aaron Burr was 20. Alexander Hamilton, 21. James Madison, 25. Thomas Jefferson, 33. John Adams, 40. Paul Revere, 41. George Washington, 44. These are just founding fathers, not necessarily somebody.
Right,
but
not,
like,
not necessarily signatories, but yeah, whatever. People that were around doing things in that time.
But
yeah,
like it's interesting that they, these people put together, when they're like forming the nation, they're like, mm-hmm. you have to be a minimum of 35 to be the president.
To be the president, yeah.
So it's like these people, like they were, they're like, yeah, we're still a little too young. We don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
the average age was 66.
How clairvoyant of them.
Or 44, sorry. I said that wrong. Average age was 44, but more than a dozen were 35 or younger. Why is this not? Okay, there we go. Can that be right? Interesting. Andrew Jackson signed it and was 9?
No.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
That's
true. Probably just his age at the... There's no way he was 9 when he signed it. Yeah, why not?
signed it.
But I mean,
so it was bring your kid to work day.
I mean, it very well might have been. Let's see if there's any other Jacksons on here. John Hancock was 39.
He was the first to sign.
I think he was the largest. He was like, let John Bull see that or something like that. It does seem like, I don't know, maybe.
Well, if it's on the internet, okay, so then it's true.
Here we go. Here's on the internet, straight from the mouth of God. No, he did not sign it. He was 9 years old at the time of the signing. Uh-huh.
That's what I thought. Yeah, because he signed it later, right?
Despite his young age, he did serve in the Revolutionary War.
So he served in the war at age 9.
Okay, here's an actual list.
That's fun.
But 40, 53, 46, 39,
I'm sure that people are
35.
Loving hearing us doing our intern work.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
live
yeah,
on air.
No, I'm sure.
Just
it's what the people want.
Yeah, just hearing us do the intern work.
Live Googling.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
we don't want to have to have them do it for. We want.
I mean, hey, we tried. We have several people try out for interns. None of them worked out.
Best we've had so far is Matt.
Yeah.
The oldest
as you can tell.
The oldest person that signed the Declaration of Independence was a 70-year-old scientist by the name of Benjamin Franklin.
Of course.
Let's see who's the
youngest. So that's where the old white guy's modem is from. Okay. Yep.
All right. So
Ben Franklin.
He asked, you know, go ask a group of first graders, you know, who all signed the Declaration of Independence. They'll be like, a bunch of old white guys.
Will they?
Will they? They probably won't know.
Well, okay. Sorry. Maybe fifth graders. Shut up. I don't know how old kids are nowadays. I don't have kids.
Kids also, you're kind of assuming that kids learn anything in school.
Yeah, see,
that's true.
I didn't know who signed the Declaration of Independence when I was a child.
Like, I knew some people.
I may have known a name or two. I may have known a few names of presidents or something, maybe. But like, I wouldn't have.
Yeah,
but,
and every picture you saw of them was with them in a white wig.
In a white wig.
And we were like, oh, look at all these old white guys. Yeah.
So, did you know Edward Rutledge? No.
No.
He was the youngest at 26.
Okay.
But yeah, so like most of the ones that you know would be, you know, Tom Jefferson, you know, those. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Yeah.
Ben Franklin, Sam Adams, John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Aaron Burr was like the kind of the weird outlet. He was super young. But
mm-hmm. Right, yeah. He apparently didn't sign, but he was young at the time.
George Washington did not sign it. I guess he was off fighting a war or something.
Wasn't there multiple signings? It was the first signing and the second signing, wasn't it?
I don't know
about that.
Listen, this is a list of signers, not when they signed.
Ask how many times it was signed or how many signings there were.
Ask who? They?
Ask them.
Most of these guys lived to old.
Oh, yeah.
Like 90, like who? Somebody lived to 90. Mm. Yeah, it's got their age of their death, number of children. It's mm-hmm. I didn't even ask for some of this stuff. Number of times
got
married.
It now. So what else did we do in Chicago? Because like,
how we got here?
I don't know how we got here, but we got here.
Yeah, I think this is.
We were talking about dinosaurs
and dinosaur arms, and I was gonna wrestle. I was gonna
independence
arm wrestling with a dinosaur.
Arm wrestling with wrestling with a dinosaur.
Yeah, we got it. Look, we found the missing link.
We did go through the Egypt exhibit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was hot. Like it was stuffy. The basement was stuffy.
It was warm, yeah.
Yeah.
That one was both cool and sad.
Mm-hmm.
Why sad?
Because, like, I mean, all that stuff was kind of looted. Literally. Right? Like,
uh-huh. Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why sad.
Okay.
Yeah.
All that stuff was stolen. Most likely.
I didn't know if you meant like
it was preserved from someone else stealing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess
maybe the Field Museum stole it from other people that stole it, thereby making it good.
The thing that I thought was most interesting from that was their beds.
Beds.
Yeah. Did you see the beds?
I didn't see the beds. No, I didn't see that.
They're called sarcophagus, and those aren't beds. That's where they die.
That is also not where they died. Well, maybe.
I mean, they died before that, and then they went there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, but they had a bed there with a, like, just, you know, I guess what they assume is a standard bed from the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was that
the leather straps cot?
Yeah.
Which was fine, whatever. It was the pillow that got me.
I can't remember what we call the pillow. I remember the leather straps.
So a cot with, you know, mm-hmm. rails around maybe 6 inches off the ground with leather straps crisscrossing.
Mm-hmm.
And like that didn't look amazingly comfortable, but fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But the pillow thing that they had sitting there was a wooden structure that went up about like 5 or 6 inches with a little curve in it. That was like an inch and a half wide.
Yeah, that wasn't just them. Like, go look at like Japanese pillows.
Yeah, I was going to say, you look at Japanese stuff and it's just like, it was like a 4 to 6 inch.
It's a headrest. It is not a pillow. It's a headrest.
Yes. It is a wooden headrest that you lay your head down on to go to sleep. Very comfortably so.
I don't get it.
How?
I don't know.
How?
Yeah.
Like, so when I saw it, I was like, okay, so this is where they put the people to, like, prepare them for mummification, mm-hmm, right? Like, mm-hmm. This is what makes sense to me because you're just laying this person out. There's slats there. You cut them open. The blood just runs, so it makes sense. Like, this is all fine and good. But no, that's where they slept.
But then you go over and read the thing, and it's like, this is a standard bed. And you're like, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It beats sleeping on the rocks.
It's not the bed that gets me, though.
It's the headrest.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, do you want it to be better to not have anything?
Do you want your hair to get dirty?
No, it would not be better to not have something because of ergonomics.
Did you know that sand is coarse and rough and it gets everywhere?
That's the best line in Star Wars history.
That is the best line.
No, I mean, that's why they have a bunch of different pillows, you know, that are, they're trying to, like, find the best ergonomic pillows to, like, fit your head and neck and shoulders and all that perfectly just to, like, hold it in place.
You know what? Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It might be super comfortable.
What if it is? What if it's like the what best? If that's
just the best thing. What if it really is the best? And we're, like, we're trying to
we kind of wake those. Up tomorrow after trying it. We're like, that is the best sleep I have ever had.
So
very well might be.
Maybe for like a particular type of sleeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Is right. the thing like
no, so? Yeah. No, yeah, I you rotate. Sleep, you so sleep like on your I stomach. Would get, I would get like a piece of wood in my eye.
The- yeah. See, I sleep. I'm one of those people who could use one of those because I sleep on my back. And just flat on my back, and like I don't roll around until the morning. And I got one of those like weird, or Emily ended up getting some weird like ergonomic head pillow thing that's like
memory foam
pillow that's like it's cut in this specific way, and it doesn't like move. Yeah. It's not very squishy.
Uh-huh.
To me, it was the most comfortable thing I've ever laid on, and I've been using it for a couple of years now. She slept on it and was like, I hate it. And I was like, let me try that. And I was like, oh, this works for me really well.
Because, yeah, I, too, flop around all over the place and kick people. So.
But no, it like, maybe, sits up against my shoulders. And,
maybe
like,
if
you
we
know,
had one of the
–
maybe
the neck spot.
Maybe that's what it's prescriptive. Maybe if you've got that, you don't move. Or here's another thing. Maybe somebody snored, and this – like opened like it held their head up head the right spot to where they're not mm-hmm. the other it's they just breathe heavy where they're like instead of you know maybe Egyptians you know were big
had
snorers
it all figured out
you know?
maybe but we'll never know. So
Dude,
anyway
were dinosaurs big snorers?
Do you think dinosaurs were big snorers? I don't know.
I mean, if they snored, they would be big. It would be big snore.
I mean, maybe. I mean, my cat, one of our cats snores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
Yeah,
Webb does
Webb
snore.
Snores. He tucks
I guess dog snores
He
sometimes.
Tucks himself up in like a ball so tightly that he like cuts off his breathing and he'll snore.
Huh.
Yeah. Like whenever I'm trying to clean his face, he does that. He squishes his head down and then he sits there and his breathing is all like snory and whatever
raspy.
Snore? Yeah, it's like what are you doing, bud?
Do you snore?
I apparently do a little bit. According to Clint, I have woken up once or twice and heard myself snoring a little bit. Yeah, it's not like it's not like constant or like all the time awful, but just like apparently sometimes I snore.
Yeah, it's
depending
like, well,
on what position I'm in.
So
it's, yeah, the going to sleep. Sorry.
I was camping. This past weekend.
Okay.
The past weekend.
Yeah.
And Stephen and Lauren Ford were there.
Yeah.
And camping a little ways away from me. And one of the nights that we were there, like normally even in my hammock, I'll swap around to like my stomach and side and whatnot and just kind of flip around. And the second night we were there, I slept solidly on my back, like just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren the next day was like, so... we heard you snoring. she said that apparently she was really irritated with Steven for breathing really loudly. And he's like, no, it's not me. I'm not doing anything. And they're like, wait, is that Dan? Yep, that's Dan. Like, oh, no wonder my throat was sore this morning.
So it happens when you sleep on your back all night.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yeah.
I snore, but I think it's only when I'm sick. Like when because like I know that whenever like every like the nights that I've gone camping and like I've like when it's been like really like I got really dry because of you know
air
my body was using all the moisture to make mucus or whatever and I was told that I snored and I was like that's the first time somebody's told me that I snored
you know? And I didn't know which one of you two snored but yeah.
You've heard it before?
Yes.
Yeah. And he snores. I have heard him snore a little bit too. Like, I mean, not all the time, but just like occasionally if he falls asleep before me, sometimes I will hear him snoring a little bit.
So apparently I'm a sometimes, like, and usually it's when I'm like super duper tired because that's like the only time I ever go to sleep before Emily is
true,
I am like pass out tired and I'm like, I want to go to bed. And then I just lay down in bed and pass out, and then she has to deal with me snoring, I guess. But usually yeah, like we lay down and go to sleep, whatever. Emily always passes, like, goes to sleep before me, and she'll start snoring, and you know, just a nice, quick, you know, swift elbow to the ribs usually puts a stop to that, and then she starts up again, and then I just you know do it again.
Like, Dan, you and I have shared a bet on like Adepticon and sure. other tournaments and stuff, and I don't think I've ever heard you snore. But you also have your white noise machine going most of the time.
There's that, but like, I only snore when I'm on my back.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I rarely like I typically will go to sleep on my back and then quickly flip over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think flip. I mean I know I snore sometimes, but it was a weird set of circumstances that I was just perfectly comfortable in my hammock on my back, and mm-hmm. apparently yeah. was that way all night long.
Yeah, I rotate all the time throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. I typically do too. I think the one thing that keeps me sometimes from rotating in the hammock is that I'll put a pillow underneath my knees. Well, and like just that, the hang with the pillow under the knees, like it's just perfect.
I was
going to
say the hang helps because like it kind of forces your body into a position. But mm-hmm. then, with the pillows, like your body is.
You got to have that pillow under your knees in a hammock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very. Having your knees hyperextended all night, it's not a good time when you wake up in the morning.
Hammocks can be really comfortable, but you got to do it. You got to do it right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else did we do in Chicago?
We ate delicious really ice cream. Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It was La Michiguana.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I had a frozen banana for the first time. Chocolate covered frozen banana. It was all right.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it had been just a cold banana with a chocolate covering on it, I think it would have been better. But it
too
was,
frozen.
Yeah, it was too just frozen, too frozen. Chewy. It was just like
got to chew through it.
Crunching on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had tamarind sherbet, which is the first time I've ever encountered a tamarind flavored sherbet. It wasn't ice cream, but it was sherbet, funky. But still it was funky. Yeah, I enjoyed the first, like, so they gave you the size I ordered was just a very small, you know, dish. It was like probably half a cup or something, and for half of that dish, I was enjoying it because it was different and neat and funky. And then the second half, I was like, okay, I'm done.
Done eating tamarind ice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 But it was neat.
That is neat.
It was really good ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it's one of those things that, like, it was so good that I'm glad it's in Chicago. Because if it was within, like, a 20-minute drive from here,
mm-hmm.
I'd have it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing that's not there.
Getting fatter.
It's a good thing it's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we have.
I would like some chocolate.
You just want chocolate right now?
Chocolate ice cream.
Just want some ice cream?
Chocolate upstairs.
Is there ice cream upstairs as well? So you take you take the chocolate and put it in the ice cream, and you have chocolate ice cream.
I do not have ice cream.
Uh-huh.
I have chocolate.
Sad.
I have marshmallows.
So transition. Oh yeah. Okay. We watched an eclipse.
We did watch an eclipse.
Yeah. We could have transitioned off of Dan's snoring.
Yeah, because that was camping.
That's right. Dan was out there camping
for the eclipse.
Yes. So I guess I saw several.
We actually never quite.
No, I saw. He posted a few pictures. You don't.
Yeah, you posted pictures, and I totally
saw those.
You don't
watch the Discord.
You're right. Yeah. Yep. I'm totally involved in the social medias.
Yeah. That one picture that Steven got.
That wasn't even in the eclipse picture, was it?
There was an eclipse there, yeah.
I was just thinking of the one where he had a photo of people that were sitting on a cliff.
Yeah,
and so there was the moon in the background.
So yeah, Dan.
Well, that was the eclipse in the background.
Dan actually went backpacking with the Fords. Mm-hmm. Emily and I drove to Indiana because Emily's parents happened to be directly beneath the.
In the sweet spot
of like full totality.
Maximum length totality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. We just went out in the back porch of.
Yeah, that one's really neat.
Yeah, it is really neat.
Yeah.
There's some pictures on our Discord if you want to take a look.
Yeah.
It was cool. The one thing I missed this year or this time, the thing that we saw. The time before was the shadow race across the ground, and
we didn't see that this year.
See that this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I didn't recognize her, didn't get to see it or whatever.
Didn't catch the
didn't
shadow.
Catch no, it.
I didn't yeah. really see a shadow racing no, across this, the ground either, but I was looking it. Up.
Mm-hmm. I specifically remember the one that we saw here in St. Louis. We were standing out there, and yeah, all of a sudden there's just a shadow that just races across the ground real quick, and it was a really trippy looking thing. But we didn't see it this time.
See that either time. Mm-hmm. It was just like there's a weird,
you can see it. You can see uh-huh. a video of it from space.
Yeah, I've seen that
where you can see the shadow just race across. It's very weird looking.
It was really cool. So one thing that I didn't get a picture of, but I noticed because Stephen and Lauren pointed it out to me, was that the tree behind us. The shadow of the leaves,
yes,
all crescent.
Yes, the pinhole effect. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Really cool.
Mm-hmm. Pinhole effect.
Yep. Yeah, we were all like, making pinholes with our hands, you know, and just like, you know, doing the pinhole thing. Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the cool things we.
I actually saw somebody on Facebook. They had this was a smart idea. They had a colander. They had a colander outside with them so that, like, you know, you can make tons of little eclipses.
Oh. Yeah.
It's neat. Uh-huh.
I just took the afternoon off of work. I stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It got.
I think it was 98 or something.
It got dusky.
98%, I think, was here or something along those lines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the sun is bright. You know it this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I didn't know if you noticed. I just wanted to check consensus.
Yeah.
Like wearing the eclipse glasses inside, looking directly at a light, can see zero, nothing.
Uh-huh.
It's not even like a hint of light coming through.
Mm-hmm.
This ball of fire, was it 98 million
93, miles? I think.
93 million miles away.
Yeah.
Is covered 99% of the way and like and I have these glasses on that I can't see any other light through and it's still like it's a sharp light it's a sharp color and it still hurts my eyes so after the, like I still was like blinking like
the eclipse glasses were like hey don't even through the glasses don't look for more than 3 minutes because you're going to damage
it wasn't,
your eyes.
It wasn't even that. I was like looking at, I would look at it for like 30 seconds and then I would just, you know, look down.
Yeah.
And I look, but like my eyes were still like, once I got done, I was like,
my eyes hurt.
I'm blinking, which you folks at home can't see. But like I was doing a lot of that because my eyes were like, you shouldn't stare at the sun. I was like, I kind of wasn't, but I was. I definitely was. But... I'm with you on this, but I was doing like, I put a whole... you know, planetary, the heavenly body in the way, you know, blocking out most of it. And...
Yeah. So what Clint and I ended up doing was putting the eclipse glasses over our sunglasses, and we found that more comfortable.
I actually thought about that, but my sunglasses were in my car.
Oh, yeah. And we had them with us. And so, yeah, we were just like looking through, and it was way more comfortable through the sunglasses.
Just
actually.
A little bit
just
more.
Just taking that little extra edge off of it. It was a lot more comfortable. Yeah.
But it's like when I'm looking at less than 1% of the sun's solar radiation. I'm using it with a thing specifically designed to block its rays, and it still hurts. It's like, holy crap, that thing's bright.
Mm-hmm. It is bright. Yeah,
it's very bright.
Look, all I know is we need to stop predicting the end of days, man. I don't know how many more credit cards I can run all the way up with the hopes that tomorrow doesn't come.
Oh man.
So dark note, I saw that there was a lady that like posted all caps like this is, you know, this is the apocalypse. Y'all need to, you know, stop, you know, fooling about, and she killed her spouse and her kid.
Wow.
Oh.
It's like, okay, cool. Uh-huh. And you'll never know that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
People are wild.
It's like, well, and like, it's not like eclipses don't happen all the time.
Uh-huh.
They happen like less than every 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, they don't happen in North America all the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time they happen over the ocean, which is
covers
the majority of the earth. And so nobody sees them except for like, you know, like
a man in a boat randomly.
Like people on boats, people on remote islands are like, oh, hey, check that out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Whereas this time it came right across the middle of the U.S.
And if
it
so had come like, right, the world
if
is
it had
day.
Come, yeah, if it had gone right across Europe, we wouldn't have known or cared about it.
Yeah, uh-huh. We wouldn't have. It wouldn't have been the end of days because everything.
The end of days can only affect America.
Yeah, the only thing that is relevant is things that happen to America.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
But thinking about this, like, what must have? I mean, you understand how, like. If you didn't know this was coming, and then, mm-hmm. like, so we'll say
1,000 years ago,
a thousand years ago, and you're mm-hmm. like, what the hell is yeah. going
no, like,
on?
Yeah. For that, I can totally understand yeah. why yeah. people would be like, oh my God, the world.
We need to start uh-huh. sacrificing people. The yeah. gods are unhappy. I totally right. understand
yeah.
that.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
Nowadays,
in this day and age, yeah, you should not be sacrificing your husband and child.
But even, nope. even at the start of America, so one of the fun things that I learned about eclipses was Tecumseh and one of his it wasn't his chief, but it was like his we'll use a maybe it's a pejorative term, but his medicine man, you know,
mm-hmm.
They were able to. I don't know, pull the wool over William Henry Harrison, mm. who would later be a president of the United States because uh-huh. they knew that.
Yeah, they tracked the eclipses.
They tracked the eclipses. Yeah. They knew it was going to happen. And William Henry Harrison is just, you know, some, you know, dumb white guy. And uh-huh. he was like, you know what? If you want this, this treaty between the Indian nations to happen, prove it. Have some sort of miracle, you know, tell the sun to sit in the sky for a few days or something like that. And then, so like it wasn't Tecumseh, but it was, I can't remember
his shaman or whatever.
Yeah. He was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to make the sun, I'm going to blot out the sun for a few, you know, for a little bit on this day. And, uh-huh. They're like, William Henry Harris was like, that dumb idiot. He agreed to something stupid. His, you know, and like then a few days later, it was just like, oh, I'm the dumb idiot because this stuff is predictable and you can see that it's going to happen. It's like, uh-huh. so even these people with like very rudimentary technology knew mm-hmm. that it was going to happen
mm-hmm.
250 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, so this isn't. We knew this was happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We know that the next one in America is going to be
20-something years.
Yeah, I think it's 22
so
years, I think.
There's one in Alaska in 9 years. And then...
We can go to Alaska.
Well, there's one...
We get to see both the eclipse
like,
and the aurora borealis.
I want to. Like, I think it goes across Denali National Park, and I'm like,
How many years?
It's in nine years.
In 9 years? I mean, in 9 years, maybe we could find an excuse to go to Alaska.
There's right?
going to
be one in South America. I think it's either later
Yeah, but
this
that's not in America, so
year.
I don't really care.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
The next
count.
One
no
one but is in 44.
But yeah, it's like, but they're that common to where there's one going to be within a year. In uh-huh. South America. That's how...
So the world is going to end in a year from
yeah,
now?
Yeah, the world is going to end.
All right, so I can rack up another credit card yep. then. All right,
Just sacrifice your family.
Yeah, that's...
The credit card gods.
Sacrifice my family, yeah. Go crazy.
Good Lord.
It's the Armageddon spaceship. I think we have pulled this one as far as we can go, though.
I'm sure there's other eclipse stories
other
we
can talk
I mean,
about. But
I'm sure.
Or we could just not.
But
we
feel like we
save some content for another time.
next eclipse.
The next eclipse. Eclipse.
Yeah.
We'll,
which is in a year.
So yeah, about yeah. the probably about the time that we would get a scheduled podcast out.
Yeah. Well, all right, y'all. Well, it's been fun. It's been fun chatting. Hopefully someday we'll see you all to scrub down, but it won't be in May. So
yep. Keep you posted on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All of you people who are doing it, you keep on doing your FitWest scrubbing.
Oh yeah, FitWest scrub.
Good job, all of you, and mm-hmm. keep on doing it.
We can talk about that more next time
mm-hmm.
because it'll be done.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that'll be about the time.
Yeah, let's not talk about my minutes total and how it's one of the lowest.
I've actually been doing well.
It's yeah, been, Matt's been doing a lot of biking, stationary biking. Bike. Mm-hmm, yeah.
But another thing we could talk about is I bike when I hell dive. So Hell Divers 2 is a fun game.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay.
Next
time.
On that note.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Mario.
Excuse me. Is it back?
Are you brainless?
No, not really, no.
Your ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Don't do that again. Many Gungans will be killed.
Ah, Lucifer is well seen.